The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
Anxiety is the fire alarm. It's just a fire alarm telling you that you're not connected to your loved ones, that your ecosystem is on fire. The world you've created for yourself is on fire. And you've overloaded your circuits. That's it. That's it. And what we've done as a country, as a world with anxiety, is we've pathologized it, we've made it the demon, when all it's trying to do is tell us the way we are living is completely out of whack. Completely and totally out of whack.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, that was Dr. John Deloney. Some insight into anxiety. Really being the alarm bell that tells us we've been just overloaded. We've overloaded our life. It's not a death sentence. It's a symptom. And if you reevaluate your life, you reevaluate your surroundings, you make some change, he argues that the alarm stops. And I thought we'd talk a little bit about this today. I'm telling you, anxiety, I can't tell you how many people I know, especially those in their teens and in their 20s and in their 30s that are just crippled by social anxiety, by anxiety disorder. And of course, depression is there as well. I mean, how many people do you know that have been battling depression? We see such a horrible increase also in the rates of suicide. I mean, suicidal ideation continues to increase here in the States. My son, as I shared a little bit earlier, just went to a funeral of a friend of his that he saw, two, 3 weeks ago. Kid lost his job, lost his girlfriend, and it was overwhelming for him. He never thought he'd find happiness again, and he decided to take his life. We're seeing right now a growing percentage of youth in the U.S. that are living with major depression as well. 2.5 million youth in the U.S. have severe depression. Over half of the adults with mental illness never get the treatment they need. There's something, you know, one of the numbers I saw earlier today, which is just stunning, 27 million adults in the U.S. go untreated. 27 million adults with mental illness. So we have a real crisis, a mental health crisis in the country right now. So I want to talk about it today. Maybe you have a loved one. Maybe you yourself are struggling with this. Maybe it's your son or your daughter, your niece, your nephew, your grandchild. How do you prevent anxiety? How do you prevent depression? Can you? Is it even possible? You know, I was thinking about the onset of COVID, and it shut down everything. Remember that? People experienced heightened anxiety. They didn't know what the future was going to hold. A lot of people saw, the depression in our country rose dramatically, at least for a time. The CDC, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, they say that the severity of anxiety, it increased 13% from August to December of 2020. And that, of course, was right after the initial shutdown. But then the severity decreased by 27% from December 2020 to June 2021. And the CDC said that similar increases and decreases occurred in depression severity scores as well. So those trend lines, they make sense. Right? Because we become isolated from each other. We weren't allowed to visit people. Couldn't go to school, couldn't work, couldn't go to church. And when the severity of the anxiety and the depression increased, those numbers spiked. And when people started getting back to normal life, things started to open. We saw the trend line go down. In other words, being around other people, I think, is a great way to deal with this, to maybe even prevent anxiety and depression. I think we need to be connected. And I think people consider anxiety and depression to be something just kind of happens to certain people for whatever reason. I don't think that's the case. I think you might experience times in your life where you've struggled with greater depression or greater anxiety than others. My friend, colleague, former host here at Relevant Radio, a guy named Joe Sikora, he actually did a podcast. He's a wonderful therapist, a licensed marriage and family therapist, wrote a book called Defying Gravity. We've talked about that in the past. I saw a podcast that he did on preventing anxiety and depression. I thought, well, does this come and go? Is it cyclical? Will we all one day experience it? Is it worse than ever before? We're more connected than ever, yet we still feel more isolated than ever with our smartphones and all this other social media. To me, it's confusing. It really is. It's like a fog. You look at all the different data, the trend lines. You take a look at the fact that we are super connected, yet we see kids today suffering with anxiety like never before. Is there something going on physiologically with the brain? I mean, what is going on in the culture? Let's talk about it. If you have a question, a comment, you want to share your own experience, feel free to dial in. I'm going to open the phones throughout the final hour here at 888-914-9149. But it's good to have Joe join me today. Joe, thanks for your good work. Thanks for that podcast. It's something I hope everybody will tune into and listen, especially if anxiety and depression are
one of the struggles. Thank you for using your platform and your voice to bring up this important topic, because so many people are suffering and struggling right now. And what you don't maybe realize, or a lot of people don't realize, is that the young people are really suffering and struggling, even more than older people. And as I was thinking about it, you know, obviously as a therapist, I'm very honored. It's a great trust when people come to me and say, I'm overwhelmed, I'm really struggling, I'm depressed, I'm thinking about ending my life. And of course, I want to step in and help them. But then I was thinking, boy, what could we do to actually prevent it? Like, are there things that we can do to lower our anxiety, our depression, right? Do we have to wait until we're there, or can we actually prevent it? Yes, we can. But I want to begin, because I was thinking, it's one of my favorite scriptures. Jesus, as you know, Matthew chapter 14, I'll just paraphrase it and cut to the chase, right? Jesus is preaching, he's teaching for days. At the end of all of that, he says, my heart breaks for these people. They're starving. They're hungry. He goes to his disciples. He said, what have you got to feed them? They, of course, have nothing. A few loaves of bread, a couple of fish. He feeds them, right? We have this great miracle. When that's all done, Jesus then tells the disciples, get in the boat, cross the lake, I'll catch up with you. And here's where the story gets interesting. And I think this has a lot to do with where and why we feel anxiety right now. The disciples go out. They get caught up in this storm, right? The waves are battering them. About 4 o'clock in the morning, they see Jesus walking across the water. Now, of course, they see him, as you know this story, right? They're freaking out. They're thinking it's a ghost. They're crying out in terror. Jesus calls out to them, courage, it's me. Don't be afraid. And then here's where it gets really interesting. Peter says, Lord, if that's you, tell me to come walk to you on the water. Crazy request, right? Jesus walking on the water is one thing, but you and me walking on the water, that's another one. Jesus says, get out of the boat, Peter. Walk to me. Now, Peter is walking on the water, looking at Jesus. And when does he fall down? When he takes his eyes off the Lord and he looks down at the waves churning beneath his feet. And he says to himself, I can't do this. And he begins to sink. Now, you know this story, right? Jesus rescues him and he gets back into the boat. But I think the idea, the first thing that we have to think about is when we're considering anxiety and depression, where is our focus? Are we looking at solutions? Are we looking for God as our solution? Or are we just focused completely on the problems? And when we focus exclusively on the problems, the worries, it's only going to compound the negative feelings that we're feeling. So I love that story from Scripture. And I think that's a great point to start. It's just like, where is your focus?
Yeah, that's so true. It's one of my favorites, Joe. I think about it all the time. I mean, you know, they thought that they were in the middle of the sea. I mean, imagine this. You're surrounded by nothing, right, but water. And you see a creature, you see some specter walking on the water towards you. I mean, did Christ ever do that before? Scripture didn't say that. It would scare the heck out of me. I mean, I'd be terrified. and then Peter really to get out and not, you know, Lord, if that's really you, then tell me to come. Well, what if the ghost said, yeah, come to me. You know, and Peter got out, but he really believed it was the Lord. And you're right. When we take our eyes off of Christ, that's when everything goes wrong. That's when we fail. And I think it's such a great example of the problems in the world. I mean, when we look at our tax problem, or we look at our health crisis, or we look at our relationship problem, you take a look at all the problems. If you get focused on that, it's like Peter looking at the water saying, wait a minute, I can't do this. I'm getting wet. The wind's buffeting me around. I mean, you sink. You get mired in it. You get depressed. You get anxious. You lose your focus. But if you realize that with God, there's a way out of this situation, you keep your eyes on him, I think anxiety diminishes. I think fear diminishes and hope and trust rise. How important is God in the in the anxiety and depression crisis that we're seeing today? Because I really think we're seeing this exodus out of the church. We got, you know, one in almost 33%, anywhere from 25 to 33% of people leaving the church saying, I believe in God, but I just don't need organized religion. And they're not practicing it. And when you don't have God in your life, you know, there's a lot of other things that fill it. How important is God as an equation in rising above anxiety and depression?
Well, you know, absolutely important. And here's what's happening. We know that, you know, as Catholics, we really place a value on worshiping together as a community, right? There's a real emphasis coming together at least on Sundays, if not more often, but at least on Sundays, you know, kneeling together before him, praying together before him. And we know that anxiety goes up, it spikes when people feel a sense of isolation. And more than ever before, we have that. Although we have this social media and all these other things to, quote unquote, connect us, we don't feel connected. So coming back together to pray, you know, that's just acknowledging, hey, I'm not alone in this. And that's so important because we lose it when we feel like we're all alone. And God wants to remind us all the time. I love what Paul says in Philippians. I quote Philippians all the time, especially chapter 4. Paul says, don't fret, don't worry. Instead of worrying, pray. You know, pray, letting God know your concerns. Obviously, God knows our concerns. But when we pray, we're acknowledging that we have this important connection between us and God. And Paul goes on, he says, you know, it's a beautiful thing what happens when his spirit comes on you and it settles you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. But the more that we remove ourselves from God, the more that we remove ourselves and believe that our faith isn't important, I think the more prone we are to anxiety.
Yeah, I could not agree with you more. Let's do this. I know we have a lot of people who are wanting to talk with us today. If you want to join us, the toll-free number is 888-914-9149. We'd love to hear from you. Feel free to join Joe Sikora. He's a former colleague here on Relevant Radio, hosted a show for years, author of a book called Defying Gravity, and is a licensed marriage and family therapist. We'll go to Michelle. She's listening in Southern California. Joe, she wants to join the conversation. Michelle, hi. You're on the air with Joe.
Hi, Drew. Thank you for taking my call. Yes, I totally agree with all that you were saying. I'm a school psychologist here in Southern California, and you were saying earlier about how we're so connected through social media and internet, everything like that, the phone. I also feel that that could be a detriment. When I was younger, I remember watching the news was like something that caused anxiety in people if we watch too much of it. And I feel like for young people who don't process information as easily, having mixed messages with everything, they are so much more bombarded with news that can be negative and anxiety producing. And I absolutely agree. When you don't have Christ, there's fear, because I see the difference in the youth that go to church with us who have a hold of Christ and are really involved. They don't have fear. I see the students at my school who don't, and they're very fearful.
Michelle, before I let Joe respond to you too, I'm just curious, as a counselor, and I don't know how long you've been doing this, but are you seeing more and more kids now come to you with anxiety, with depression, with suicidal thoughts? I mean, what have you seen over the years? Is it spiking up? Has it been the same? What are you seeing?
I see it spiking up. Absolutely, there is more of it, especially since COVID. I just think that many of the students I deal with do not have God really in their life, or, you know, not much of it. And I see the difference. I see that there's a lot of fear. I don't think they understand or know what the truth is. You know, they just hear things maybe from the family, from their phones or friends, and they just kind of, you know, I do see a lot of depression and sadness and anxiety, and there's a lot more referrals happening.
Great. Well, thank you for sharing that. Joe, I'm going to let you respond.
Yeah, and I want to be clear. When I talked about social media and quote-unquote connection, I actually think it leaves us feeling less connected. I actually don't believe most of social media. I get there's a benefit. I'm not like a complete naysayer, like, oh, don't have Facebook or anything like that. That's not me. But it's not real connection. We actually have a need to connect, to touch. You might be aware of this, Drew, but they've done studies on babies who were born who lacked touch, right? These studies born in some, you know, they were put in orphanages in the Ukraine and Russia and whatnot. And these babies, their brains didn't develop. We need to not only be connected, we need to be touched, we need to be held, we need to be heard, we need to be understood. And so often that's just not happening. And I don't think it really happens with social media. And I agree with what Michelle said. You know, you've really got to limit your intake of even news. It's like, okay, get your news from some source, but then step away from it. Put the phone down. You know, it's interesting. I live and breathe this stuff. I talk about it. And a lot of times when I'm seeing clients, you know, I have about 5 minutes between seeing clients and I'll step out and I'll grab my phone. I'll just check my internet. I'll check this. And I go, and I tell myself, Joe, put it down. You know, just breathe, just pray. And when I really listen to that good advice I try to give myself, I do calm down. But we are so connected and we've lost the experience and the joy of just thinking, of just being present, of just being still. And we really need that.
My guest today, Joe Secora, if you want to join us, 888-914-9149. Jody is listening in Las Vegas. Hey, Jody, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, Drew. Hi, Joe. I have a question for you. I wondered what Joe's thoughts were on the I feel like it's an epidemic, at least here in Las Vegas, the divorce factor. I've had my daughter is 16 years old, and she does suffer from anxiety and depression. And her dad left 5 years ago. I'm still in her life. You know, now she, you know, at that point, she was only 11, 12. She just turned 16 and having to adjust to a new home with another woman, with her other children, you know, a younger woman with these other young children. And, you know, when she was younger, we would pray together and she would always say, thank you so much, mommy, for doing this with me. And she was always so reverent and just slowly but surely, I feel like that fractured disconnect between, you know, one home fostering the faith. And even though her father and I were married in the Catholic Church, she was baptized. She, you know, she had her first Holy Communion, all those things. Mm-hmm. And, but then with the new family, you know, him sort of deciding to, you know, do new practices, you know, supposed Catholics that are like, she's supposedly a Catholic that fell away, but they don't go to church and that type of thing. And so, I feel like everyone at her, even at her Catholic high school, there are so many divorced parents, and the kids are either on meds, they're going to these therapists, and you know, I feel like when really the fracture has to do with something that I don't know how much a therapist can touch. I believe that so much of it has to do with the Lord and that divinity and that just, you know, constant prayer. And also the coming, I think there needs to be some sort of movement in terms of a father and a mother that have a child together and they can actually come to the child together and at least help that child heal. And, you know, listen, if that's what they decided to do, but there's no confrontation of that.
Well, Jody, thank you. Let me let Joe respond. Time goes very quickly in this segment. Go right ahead, Joe.
Yeah, look, there's no doubt about it that divorce, the tearing apart of a family, and I understand it. I work with a lot of couples who really struggle. Many make it back, restore that marriage, but it has a huge impact on kids. There's no doubt about it. I mean, I always tell parents whose kids, you know, they come to me and say, my teenager, my son, my daughter is really struggling. And I say, you're the best intervention right now. You know, if you can create stability in your own life, if you can create peace in your own home, that sense of security, you can provide that to your children. And that's going to help them with their anxiety. Now, again, you know, God bless them. You're trying to raise a child on your own, and that separation, it is so difficult. My heart goes out to people. But the more that you can do to create that peace through prayer, through play, you know, I tell parents, get out and play with your kids. Pray and play. Mm-hmm. Both are so important. And, you know, there's no easy answer. And let me say, too, some kids, you know, again, it's not just the environment that's created through divorce or anything, that negativity. But sometimes, you know, kids experience trauma that you might not even be aware of, you know, being bullied or hurt or molested in some way. And sometimes parents don't even know this. And so your kids might be, you know, experiencing the ramifications of some sort of trauma. So sometimes you have to get that professional intervention and give them a place to talk.
Yeah, I never thought, not that I did not think about it, but the fact that divorce, you know, we have an epidemic of that as well. And it may undermine a child's confidence, may increase a certain sense of instability and fear. Maybe that's why anxiety is also on the rise. I mean, parents have really, gosh, I don't know how you anchor your kids when you're going through such a violent storm as divorce, because it tears everybody apart. They say that, you know, the one that divorces the mother and the father, they lay down their cross, and it's the kids that pick it up. So it's tough.
Yeah.
My guest today, Joe Sikora, if you want to join us, 888-914-9449. We're talking about preventing anxiety and depression. And yeah, let me take a short break here. When we come back, if you're on hold, I see you. I'm going to get you on the air. I think, Alicia, you're on deck, and you can get in right now. If you got a question, a comment, if you're concerned about a loved one, you're seeing signs, you need strategies to rise above some of the crises that you're facing, feel free to dial in. 888-914-9149. We're back with more right after this. Don't go away. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
His power is made perfect in our weakness. This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Amen to that. It's great to be here with you today. Taking a look at what has become an epidemic in the country, anxiety and depression. And I know you will do anything to find freedom from it. A lot of people turn to medication, and a lot of times there's a psychological or even a physiological reason for it. And I always want to make sure you speak to somebody who can really help you evaluate your situation. And if it's through, you know, some sort of medication and you find that freedom, that's great. But I think there are a lot of people who deal with this, and there's some root causes that can be addressed and can set you on the path to real healing. And I'm joined today by a man who just did a podcast on this, former broadcaster here, Joe Sikora, and he's a licensed marriage and family therapist. That's what he does full time. And I came across it, and I said, look, let's talk about this. I mean, I know this resonates with so many families. So if you're on hold, we'll do our best to get you on, and feel free to dial in, 888-914-9149. Before I go to Alicia, Maggie, you were telling me at the break, somebody had a question about let me try that again, scrupulosity. I should say that three times fast. Scrupulosity.
Yeah, someone called in and didn't wish to be on air, but wanted to pass the question off to you, Joe. They said, my son deals with scrupulosity. He's 23 and it's debilitating. What do we do?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, let me put it in like terms that I would use as a therapist. It's called perfectionism. You know, scrupulosity is that sense of I've got to do everything right. You know, I've got to be completely pure and perfect. And that's just not our faith. The truth is we all have to live with God's grace. You know, we're all messing up. Paul speaks about that in his letters to the Romans. He said, you know, I know what I want to do, but I don't do it anyway. He says, I go back to grace. You know, I live out this life of faith through the price that Christ paid. You know, we are not the ones who are doing everything right to earn and deserve salvation and heaven and God's love. It's what God does. So turning that around and just really, I think, embracing grace. You know, I would encourage somebody who's dealing with scrupulosity to read Paul's letters to the Romans, especially chapters 3 and 7, if I'm not mistaken, because I think he addresses that, that it's not about being perfect. It's about just really relaxing into that love of God and that grace of God. So I hope that answers the question.
All right. Sounds great. Alicia in Fox Valley, Wisconsin. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thank you. I just wanted to say, as a physician, I recognize the trinity that we each have, which is physical, mental, and spiritual. Right. I agree with all the scriptures you and your guest have brought up. But I also wanted to another one that we had in Mass about 2 weeks ago. On Ecclesiastics, where Solomon was saying everything is vanity. Basically, he equated worry with vanity because we think we can solve everything, and basically we can't. God is the one that solves everything. So that's just I wanted to add to the spiritual component. To the mental component, there are multiple factors that contribute. Number one, parents. And I see this a lot in my pediatric patients. Anxious parents are going to have anxious kids. The kids subliminally absorb what they see, and that creates a situation. The other thing is nutrition. You can have nutritional deficiencies like vitamin D, any of the B vitamins, B12, folate, B1, B6, you name it, because they're all critical for brain function. Also magnesium, critical. Anybody with any autoimmune disease, whether it's thyroid, lupus, rheumatoid, Crohn's, ulcerative colitis, vasculitis, you name the autoimmune, there's always a component, and this is well known in the literature, of anxiety, depression, some type of mental behavioral symptom associated and caused by that situation. The other one is sleep, either lack of sleep, because you have the blue light on and all the way until the time you go to bed instead of stopping an hour before, or because you have undiagnosed sleep apnea. 70% of sleep apnea is undiagnosed. And sleep apnea contributes to depression, anxiety, PTSD, worsening psychotic episodes. It's amazing. People are aware of the physical effects of sleep apnea, like sudden cardiac death, arrhythmias, and stroke, but it also affects behavioral health. And the other thing is things you can avoid, alcohol. Alcohol depletes all your B vitamins and shrinks your brain. So there you go. And also sugar. Sugar or artificial sweeteners, they're all neuroexcitatory. So if you can avoid and start weaning yourself off of that, that would be helpful. The last thing for the physical is, number one, sunlight. Looking at the sun, first thing in the morning, not looking directly, but like a blue light or looking at the greenery, that already sets your circadian rhythm for good sleep, but also reflects from the greenery the near-infrared radiation, which helps in the, making melatonin, not for sleep, but for your mitochondria at the cellular level, which also helps with multiple situations metabolically and also in mental health issues. And walking, any exercise, like your guest said, play or playing, any movement that you do increases a brain hormone called brain-derived neurotrophic factor, which increases your making or your synthesis of more nerve cells and synapses. So physical activity, it's cumulative. You can walk 15 minutes in the morning, 15 minutes in the afternoon. But if you can clock in at least 20 or 30 minutes every day, that is really going to help your mental health. So as spiritual, mental, and physical beings, we need to approach all three aspects.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Doctor, I'm so glad you called. I appreciate every one of those points. And Joe, I mean, you heard what she had to say. I mean, I love the nutritional deficiency, the lack of sleep, the fact that, you know, you need exposure to sunlight and exercise. Before I let you respond to her, Alicia, let me ask you about alcohol. You said it shrinks the brain. I had read that somewhere as well. How long does the brain stay reduced? Does it rehydrate and somehow expand, or do you lose brain matter every time you drink?
Yes. Two things to that. Number one, the shrinking is because of the dehydration. Every time you're dehydrated, your brain shrinks. So make sure you're not. The other thing is alcohol depletes vitamin B1 called thiamine, and thiamine contributes to a form of dementia called Wernicke-Korsakoff, and it also contributes to heart failure, a cardiomyopathy. Yeah. So drinking in no ways is healthy. Anything with alcohol, it has a cumulative effect. So it also contributes to fatty liver, which now is number one in the liver illness. Used to be Hep C, yep. But now it's fatty liver. But even that, non-alcoholic fatty liver. But if you're drinking alcoholic beverages, you know definitely. And the problem with fatty liver is that it can progress to cirrhosis, and anything that progresses to cirrhosis mm-hmm. can lead to either liver failure, needing a transplant, or liver cancer. So either option's not good.
All right. Well, doctor, thank you again for all the information there. Joe, I thought you brought up great points, both the physical, the mental, the nutritional deficiencies, yep. the exercise, a lot going on there. I'll let you respond. I know you did this podcast on it as well, so feel free to pick up.
Yeah. Well, obviously, I won't disagree with anything that the doctor said. Everything she said is true. Sometimes we have to go back to the basics when we're feeling anxious or depressed. You know, we have to look at the things that are preventing us from having a good night's sleep. So absolutely, you know, let me address something else from a psychological standpoint that I think, you know, the brain has what's called a negativity bias. I'm not going to go into a great deal about it, but a lot of times we're attracted. We look at what is wrong and we say, oh my gosh, a problem. I've got to address that. And we keep looking at it and we keep looking at it. But the truth is what we've got to do is be solution oriented. You know, what differentiates people is how they react to stress, how they react to the negative. And you can either become helpless and lose control of your life, which leads to depression or anxiety, or you can say, you know what, I'm going to take some step. Sometimes even the smallest step that we can take toward a solution is what's going to happen, is what's going to help us. You know, it's funny. I was thinking while the doctor was talking about Paul again. I love Paul, right? In 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul says, and he's talking about how difficult it was. He said, it was so bad when we were in, I think it was Asia province. He says, it was so bad, we didn't think we were going to make it. I'm thinking about Paul's stress and anxiety. And then he says something very interesting. He said, we felt like we had been, you know, sent to death row, that it was all over. And he said, as it turned out, he said, it was the best thing that could have happened. So again, it goes back to this idea that we can't avoid the struggle. We've got to learn how to embrace the struggle. And what Paul's solution was, he said, instead of trusting in my own strength or wits to get us out of this problem, we were forced to trust God. So a lot of times you might feel completely overwhelmed. You don't know how you're going to pay the rent. You don't know how you're going to, whatever it is. And life is difficult right now. But you can always go to God, who cares more about you, you know, than the birds in the sky or anything else. And we have to embrace that and say, all right, Lord, I might not have all the answers. For sure I don't have all the answers, but I'm going to take a step in faith. I'm going to move towards the solution. I'm going to take my focus off the problem and focus on the solution.
That's well said, Joe. Got an off-air caller. I want to work him in, too, because this is an important question. This woman writes, says, my husband is working 6 days a week, plays video games on his day off, and is very depressed. He doesn't go to church. He's depressed. What should I do?
You know, I think the best thing to do, the video game thing, obviously, is really problematic. People are looking, video game, you can think about it as like, it might be somebody else where they just drink too much alcohol. People are looking for an escape. So you can escape with video games, or you can escape with alcohol or drugs, or you can actually engage and have a healthy response to stress. No doubt, working 6 days a week, overwhelmed, he's feeling stressed. But the best antidote to that is actually to be in relationship with community, with God, and to get out and play, to actually do something active. There have been so many studies that address depression and anxiety. It sounds so simple, but we were meant to actually be active. If you look at us historically from an evolutionary standpoint, we used to live outside. We used to run around chasing animals to eat dinner. You know, we'd cultivate the fields when we got a little more progressed. You know, but now we don't. We sit behind a desk, a lot of us, to make a living. And so the body begins to build up this stress and anxiety. It needs this release. We need to get outside. We need to be in nature. We need to be moving our bodies. And so, you know, I think that's the answer that I would give that woman for her husband. Offer to go out and play tennis with your husband. offer to go out and take a hike, take a walk, do something like that.
All right, well said. We'll go back to the phones. We'll grab another call or two. Barb is listening in Illinois. Hi, Barb. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call.
Welcome.
Joe, I just love your, oh my gosh, everything you say is just absolutely correct. However, I have lived with this problem. My husband committed suicide 7 years ago, anxiety, depression. However, no one even knew it. We did everything what you say. We raised 3 children. They're all 40, 37, and 27. And with families of their own. And the thing is, we did all this. We were Catholic. I was more active than he was in the church because, of course, he had this complex about himself. That was his anxiety, depression was all about him. It was all about work. He had the work problems of, you know, I have to be the best, but never changed a job unless it was, you know, forced upon him. He, all the above. And that's where his anxiety, depression came in. We found out about this when we were having the 3rd child and, majorly because he told us, I took him to therapy because, you know, at that time, you really didn't know about depression and anxiety so much, found out that he was thinking about how he was going to kill himself and blew us all away. Oh, well, not the kids, they were too little. So anyway, long story short, we got into a great therapist, he'd get his medication, and we went through life for 33 years of marriage, and all was good and well, and his last 2 to 3 years were extremely difficult. He was getting closer to, he was only 56, but he was thinking about a way to get out of work. And of course, nowadays, everybody has 4 to 5 jobs. So it was really piling on. He knew that in his mind, he wasn't good enough. You know, he never was good enough. In that, but his family loved him. He's from a family of 5. I'm from a family of 5. Mm-hmm. Everybody just adored each other. So I don't know. This is a sickness in the head and in the brain and chemical imbalance, the whole thing. I listen to Relevant Radio every day. I hear so much about, you know, you could just have God and maybe therapy and you don't have to do the medications, but I honestly don't know if he'd make it all those years without it. We did the ECTs at the end, doing everything we possibly could at the very end when it was the worst. And then I was with him when he did this. But horrific. So my next question is, my son is 38.
So before you go on, hang on 1 second before you go on. I just want to make sure because your audio was breaking up just a little bit so people understand. Your husband committed suicide. It was 7 years ago that he did this?
Yes.
Okay. And you now have a 33-year-old son who suffers from depression?
Yes. Yes. Okay. And he goes through this same, it's the same story. It's all about work. His life is great. He has 2 new little children. He's about his faith, but he doesn't take the little kids to church, which is silly, but that's his thing. Probably because it would give him too much anxiety with them not behaving. And he'd rather not deal with that, you know. At home, he'll deal with it. At school, when the little kids go to daycare, he'll deal with it. What I'm saying is, when he started around the same age as my dad in the late 20s. He started seeing shadows of what was happening. And I'm so glad the world is the way it is now, you know, with everybody talking about it and everybody coming out about it. My question is, you know, and you're so wonderful, and we have found the hardest thing is finding good therapy, good programs. And to me, yes, your religion, I'm 100% in it.
So, Barb, you're worried about your son maybe taking the same action your husband did, and you want to talk to somebody about this. You're looking for a good Catholic therapist? Is that what you're looking for?
Yes.
Okay, Joe, can you help her with that? Can you give her some advice? Because we're up against the clock, so we could always talk on the other side.
Let me say a few things. First of all,
let me do this. I hate to do this. Let me take a break so we don't have to cut you off. And when we come back, I'll let you continue talking with Barb. And we'll take your calls if you're on hold. I see a lot of people want to talk to Joe as well. We'll be back in just a second. Stay with us.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
So much of what we think about being a strong man is the whole myth, I don't need anybody. I got discovered, right? We like that whole idea. But I want to go back to what God says, right? Genesis. What did God do right after he creates the heavens, the earth, the water, everything? He creates man and he goes, not good for man to be alone. So he creates marriage, right? He creates woman. So the whole idea is that we really need each other to deal with these psychological and other problems that we face. But in particular, as a man, you might be more inclined to actually say, nah, I got this. And if you're in denial, you're not going to even reach out to God or to other people and say, hey, I need some help here. But denial is not a good thing. Remember, it's not good for man to be alone.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
That's Joe Sikora. And he's got a podcast out. You can check it out. And Joe, let me, before we jump back in the phones, find out, how can people listen? I mean, how do we get connected to you?
Drew, I was dying. When I was listening to that, I thought, who is that? I thought, that's me. I was hearkening back to those days of being on radio with you. That was a lot of fun. I figured it out finally. The best way is, you know, you can go to my website, joesikora.com. There's links to my book. There's links to the podcast. You can listen to the podcast on Apple and Spotify and Google or Buzzsprout. So just type in the name and you should find it. But thank you for playing that.
No, I appreciate all that you do. We were talking with Barb. Her husband committed suicide 7 years ago.
Yes.
She now has a 33-year-old son who suffers from depression and is seeing parallels to the husband's behavior and is just concerned. I mean, to lose somebody like a husband, then possibly a child, it would be devastating. And she's just seeking some counsel and maybe some direction on who she can talk to.
Yeah. So first of all, let me say, Barb, I'm guessing you're still listening. My heart just breaks for you. Suicide is just so devastating to those who are left behind. And I really hope that you're getting the help and the support to deal with those difficult feelings that you're dealing with. I mean, you might feel, I don't know, but you might feel guilty. I should have done more. I could have done this. I should have seen the signs. And it's just not true. No doubt, Barb, you did everything you could to support your husband in doing this. So I want to say self-care for you, Barb, is probably the most important thing right now that you can do so that you can continue to be that loving support for your adult son. Not that he's your responsibility, but you got to take care of yourself. Now, regarding what you see, you know, when you see sometimes generations of suicide or depression, you're seeing it for a reason. Because it's genetic. There's actually a strong genetic component for suicide, for depression, for anxiety, for obesity, you name it. So sometimes you just got to recognize. So with your son, you know, if you can help him to see that much more, it's like, hey, there's just this natural component. You're not doing anything wrong. You're not a bad person. You just need extra help. You know, and everybody has to weigh this out. Of course, there have been new revelations about what medications do. I'm a little bit agnostic about medications. I don't prescribe them. I'm not a doctor. But I would say this, that medications, you know, if you really feel like, hey, I'm desperate right now, they can give you the breathing room. You know, they can give you the opportunity, the relief from the pressure and the stress to say, okay, how else can I reorganize my life so that I can live more fully, you know, absent this. You know, it's hard to say. I would also say this, Barb, you know, for your son, in terms of therapists, I would look for, in particular, perhaps an EMDR therapist. I do a lot of EMDR therapy. It basically stands for eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. It's hard for me to even say it. But what it does is your son probably has trauma in his own life from his father's suicide. And it's a very powerful technique that it could be used, you know, with a therapist who does that, for him to process the own trauma in his life so that he can at least be, you know, feel some release from those difficult feelings, from that, you know, that experience of his father's committing suicide. Right. I hope that helps. Mm-hmm.
Right. Oh, thank you so much. Yes, thank you. I appreciate it. And I watch your YouTubes and definitely listen to you on podcasts. So you're doing a great job. And Irrelevant Radio saved my life. I started listening after he passed. So it was godsend. And well, God holds us in his hands, that's for sure.
Amen,
he definitely helps us. Yeah.
Well, God bless you. We'll pray for you. I'll ask everybody here too, Barb, just to remember you and your son in their prayers.
Thank you.
Okay? You got it.
God bless you, Drew. Have a great day. Thank you.
Ciao. Ursula in Minnesota, you're on the air with Joe Sikora. Thanks for waiting so long.
No, I struggle with the prayer requests that I am involved in with the several different prayer requests. And then also I listen to you on the Divine Mercy. And then just, I guess, what's going on in our world and in our country. But mostly just the sheer anxiety that I get from listening to so many people suffering, mostly with cancer, but I don't really know how to deal with it. Is it an avoidance thing? I need to turn it off and not listen, and then I feel bad if I do that. But I'm very sensitive, and I feel like I really struggle with constant bombardment with people suffering and dying.
Ursula, it's such a great question. And Joe, I really want your take on this because, I mean, for those who we might have missed just the very beginning, what she had to say, she's involved in a lot of different prayer chains, a lot of heavy intentions come in. If you listen to the Chapel of the Divine Mercy, I'm plagued by those too. I remember those intentions. I pray for them constantly. And she says, I'm sensitive and I'm overwhelmed by it. And I don't know what I should do. But even outside of the prayer chains, the petitions that come in, I know a lot of people feel that way with the evening news. If you watch too much of the news, you start worrying about, you know, nuclear exchange or COVID spreading or the economy collapsing or who knows what's coming your way. You're bombarded by negativity. So for Ursula, who's online with you, Joe, how do you help? What does she do? What does someone else do who says, oh, my gosh, I get so stressed?
You know, for anybody who is a caregiver, whether the care that you provide is prayer, or you're a nurse, or you're a doctor, or if you're in that helping profession, I mean, even you, Drew, you pray with people every day, and I know it brings you up to pray to be a part of that ministry. But for those of us, and I have a special needs son, for those of us who dedicate our lives to caring for others, you really have to learn how to care for yourself first. You know, if you're out in the ocean, you don't want that lifeguard who's weak, who can't swim, to just drown with you. And if you're that lifeguard, you know, you've got to do those things to really restore your own soul. And let me make a basic intervention. Find the people you can laugh with. I am not funny, but I laugh all the time.
Me too.
and usually I laugh at my own jokes. And when I'm playing with my son, I mean, I repeat myself and we just laugh at the silly. And what laughter does, and believe it or not, it's scriptural. You know, Proverbs talks about a cheerful heart and laughter and how we can praise God with our laughter. Yeah. It just reminds us that not everything is darkness and gloom. Laughter is such an important intervention. I would say find those people who are really lighthearted, who actually can play and just be present and be joyful. I think our faith really asks us to do it. I don't think our faith is just about being dark difficult prayer, but to laugh, to praise, to give thanks. So give thanks. You know, write out things for which you're grateful. And so that's, I think, my short answer.
That's a great suggestion, too. People say what you should do is write down at the end of the day all the things you're grateful 4,
yeah,
you'll find your anxiety diminishes and that your joy yep. really increases. Let me sneak Vincent. He's in San Diego. He's a construction worker. His wife's a nurse. They've had some marriage problems that cause anxiety. Vince, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon. The anxiety and depression were really strong, I think, mostly after COVID. I'm a recovering alcoholic, 17 months, and wow. that really got perfected during, the coronavirus. I was at home, and my wife was working 12 hours, and had a lot of stress in there. And I guess my question was very similar to the gal that was before there. I'm looking for a good therapist. My doctor says I need a therapist. I do have a psychiatrist. Yeah, I have a psychiatrist, and I also have a sponsor in my AA. All three of them say, you need to find a therapist. You need to find a therapist. And it certainly isn't as easy as it sounds.
No. All right. Well, let me do this. I have less than a minute. Joe, I'm giving you final thoughts and final advice for all those who are listening, as well as Vince.
First of all, I want to say congratulations. Embrace that sobriety and really celebrate that. That's a beautiful thing. It is so hard. It is really hard to find a therapist these days. I get calls all the time from people that I have to turn away every once in a while I can, but people ask me for referrals. I don't know what to tell you. There aren't many people who are available. It saddens me. It's difficult. But do what you can on your own. Get together with your wife. Go out. Have fun. Connect. You got to connect. Connect through prayer. Connect through play. Connect with your community until you can find that person to help you out.
Yeah, Joe, thanks for being with us. You can check out Joe's book, too, Defying Gravity. Check him out online. I'm out of time for the day. Until next time, may God bless you.